This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here. And if you like to, you're having a little static on the radio, just go to KWAI 1080 AM. And on the internet, click on Listen to Show Live, and you're back in the ball game. But anyway, feel free to call in again. Last week I talked about the rail, and there's many things, but where we left off, and I really appreciate all that the emails that I've gotten, and there are a couple of things that I want to talk about that's in the same vein of last week's discussion or talk or whatever the diatribe that was being tossed about. But listen, I don't know if any of you saw this, little piece done on KGMB, Hawaii News Now. In the same vein, thinking that, you know, I mentioned that we really don't know the cost of rail, because what is happening is the mayor and the strategies that they're using, to include city council, to include state legislators, they're going to keep it quiet. The real costs we'll never, ever know, because they don't tell the director of a parks division, for example. And this is a real life story now. No, I'm not, didn't drink any booze and I'm going to tell you a story. This is a real life story played out on TV. And the parks director is not going to tell the public that the mayor told them to contain and take any monies that you can and divert it. And so what does that leave? The perfect example is, and I got a call last week, last Monday on the holiday. Someone informed me, hey, you're not going to believe this. Now, this is right after my show, sharing with you instances of how the government is shaving money and diverting it. So the caller tells me, you're not going to believe this. From Kuhio Street Park area to the natatorium, there is maybe one bathroom open, and they're shutting down and closing down all of the bathrooms. And the reason they're doing that is that they ran out of toilet paper or toilet tissue. Some of you may know about other names, but for the sake of morning breakfast and a decent family show here, we'll hold off what it really is. But it's a relief. But anyway, how is it that the mayor can find himself our flagship tourist draw, Waikiki, and the mayor and his real strategies of budget and finances and good management run out of toilet tissue? So I just felt inclined to get that out in the news, and KGMB did an excellent job. And then the following day, you know, it's rare to catch these slicksters in the real light, you know. You might think you have them, but they slip and they come up with some other, you know, lame excuse. But they actually came out and admitted that they ran out of toilet paper, and that is why they closed the outhouses or the relief house or whatever you want to call it. But that goes to the mayor, you see. Ask him, how on earth could someone with as basic a process as to, you go in, you pull the maintenance, you clean it up, you refurbish and replenish the toilet tissues that are there and the toiletries, whatever is necessary, whatever you normally do, but they ran out of toilet tissue. So wouldn't it be nice that we all take a roll of toilet tissue down to the city council or city hall and just give it to them? Because this is you're talking about the bottom line here, and I mean the bottom line here, if you get my drift. The mayor can't manage the bottom line. And so when we rely on toilet tissue, I thought, well, you know, at minimum, he could have, at minimum, in this recycling program with those yellow pages that they send out, deliver a couple of those there. I know a whole generation of people that survive with catalogs, and you know what I'm talking about. So if you're looking for an example, why not to vote for this guy and why not to accept any more of the lies, just flock to Waikiki Beach. But relieve yourself before you leave home, because you might find yourself in a hard press with this management, with this strategy. And again, we're looking at lifeguards. We're looking at many things that have monies have been diverted. Solid waste management. All of those things. Mr. Mayor, you need to cut out the chasing of the homeless down the hole and then calling and tell us that I've beaten them back, I got them on the run, and you can't put toilet tissue up. So, again, folks, that's why that story popped up there, and I thought it was a great gift because nature gives sometimes when you're not expecting it. And to that conveys a message, something as simple as that. The monies are being diverted. We know the buses are. So, anyway, caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I wasn't able to listen to you last week, so I hope I'm not redundant. But
now, hold on. You were able to. You just put a second. That's what it is.
Yeah, I had the budget committee. Mr. Cox, I was at 4 meetings this past 2 weeks. Take notes, bring notes, etc., to substantiate any opinion I might have, and right. It takes time, and I didn't sleep Saturday night, and your program was Sunday morning, and I had a meeting on Monday.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you go down there now, do you take your own personal toilet tissue? Because
now, let me tell you what I do to Fort Street. I take my own because in Fort Street it's already happened twice. I had to urinate behind the Ross store because there's nowhere to go. And I'm a walker, and that's how I, because of Macy's closed. So when you talk about restrooms, empirical knowledge about restrooms.
Mm-hmm. Did the Caldwell homeless Nazi chase you around, or you were able
to... They did.
Okay.
One of the non-authorized, just like a cleanup man, came and told me, I can't do that. I can't do what? You can't piss here. And he chased me away, and I got... And it's a long, but I want to talk about the 50s.
I know, and the people don't want to hear us early Sunday morning talking in these terms, but that's okay. We just want to.
And I shall. Yeah. I'll go ahead. I take notes, and I'm trying to be as organized as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
This past 2 weeks, a very, very significant resolution has gone through. The first one is 15-18. This is to delete the 5307 federal grant money from HART, who was constructing rail. 5307 represents money for American with disability riders on the van and on the bus. It is supposed to, originally, only supposed to be used for the bus and the van expenses. Now, $210 million was given to the bus and the van. This was taken by HART because they are in a financial crisis. They are $900 million behind, and they wanted collateral to get the $1.55 billion for a full financial funding agreement for steel wheel on steel rail. Well, this week, and I'm doing this quickly, the budget committee for the city council, Kobayashi, Fukunaga, Monahan, and Ozawa, and Pine, unanimously voted to delete, to take, to replace, to give back to the bus and the van the 5307 money, $210 million.
And when would that be come into effect, take effect?
That is one of the questions, because it was asked three times by three different members of the full council, when will this happen? And they wanted some assurance from Grabowskis as he sat there, and I was 10 feet away from him. He did not give a definite answer except to say, as soon as possible. But it will be done.
Well, let me, because I'm trying to understand this. You're saying the city council presented this bill, authored this bill, presented it, voted on it.
All right, let me...
Well, I mean, just yes and no. I need to establish that. They have introduced a measure.
Yes.
Okay. So why are they waiting for Grabowskis to respond to them when they, in this bill, they, if they're saying that it should be returned, why don't they assign a deadline? Why are they asking him? What do you think we should hold your feet to the fire?
Because they will not give a memorandum of understanding to Hart, who came before them and asked for more money. And they said, you have 5307 money. We're going to take that money away from Hart. You will not have the $210 million that you took from the bus and the van. That is going to go back to the bus and the van. We want you to do it. And he has said, yes, you will get the money back as soon as possible.
Okay, so it still rests with him. What is as soon as possible? So,
well, it rests with the budget. See, the controller of the purse of the money is the city council. And that full council, the full budget council, Kobayashi, Fukunaga, Banana, Ozawa, and Pine, unanimously said, we want the money back. The resolution 15.18 says, give the money back to the bus and the van.
When?
I
don't mean to frustrate you.
This is a resolution as we speak, but it's a definite resolution that they're not giving a memorandum of understanding to the rail, and the money has got to go back to the van, and the rail would have to come up in a...
Logically, I'm sitting this aside for a minute. I'm always cautious when the city... These are the same people that voted to support this rail, and some voted with reservations and what have you, but still, nonetheless, we still have this monster sitting there ready to roll. So, consuming money, diverting money, but when the council writes something, I didn't read the bill or anything or the resolution, but if the council writes something and have recognized that money has been diverted and not being used properly, and it's impacting the people or the riders of the handy van and the bus, you would think if they bother to author a resolution and introduce it, they wouldn't just leave it hanging. When do you think you can pay us back?
No, it is not. I have the resolution in front of me.
But what is the date in there? Is it just
this week?
Okay, they are saying that you will by this date have it returning it or when, and he answers. Whenever it's possible?
It is directing Hart to delete federal section 5307 grant monies from the Honolulu Rail Transit Project Plan and full funding agreement.
Okay.
And according to Grabowskis, he is going to do this, but he did not give a definite date.
Oh, okay.
He has to do this. I have the resolution in front of me, and it's three or four pages.
So yeah, I'm just looking for that date that says when you make a resolution, if it's just open-ended, it's just a self-service to make them look good in the eyes of the public and does nothing to... I mean, if it's time is important... One would write a resolution and saying by this date, within the 90 days, but not leave it up to the person that is scolding or saying you've mismanaged.
All right, now this goes on to the full council the next week.
Okay.
So the full 9-member council meets, and this resolution comes up before 9 members, not the 5-member budget committee. And 8 of the 9 vote to keep the 5307 money with the bus and the van to be taken from Hart. This is the full council, 9 members. Only one of the city council voted to keep the money with Hart, and that was Ilafonte. And the other 8 members voted to take the money and return it to the bus and the van.
Okay.
Now, there's all kinds of obstacles that were brought up, but there is an interaction group committee going to Washington, D.C. They are there now. This is Resolution 15-19. I've been talking about 15-18. And it's there to get information, explanation, commitment by the federal funding for Hawaii. Part of that is the 5307 grant money. Now, the 4 who went were Martin, Monahan, Ilafonte, and Ozawa. They are in Washington, D.C. right now, and this is what they want to know. Can the city and county take the $200 million from HART Rail full funding? Now, according to Grabowskis, I don't have it written down, but there's some confusion on his part, and he has to commit himself. But how do you replace the $200 million to complete the project? Where is HART going to get $200 million? Now, this was taken from the bus and the van because they didn't have enough money to accept the federal billions. They had to prove to the federal government they had enough money to finish the project.
Right.
They did not, they do not, and they're not going to have enough money to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they took $210 million from the Handy Van 5307 money, and they put it into the rail account to satisfy the federal government.
Right, and the guys that are there now in Washington.
Yes.
I hope that they, in the process of being there, they come back with a little integrity, because they're the same people that voted for the damn thing, except
oh, wait,
for this.
Wait,
well, no, let me finish my sentence.
Go ahead.
The new kid on the block who replaced Haramoto didn't have anything to vote on. Right. But he's there now to answer when these answers were what was presented initially. Initially, they said they weren't even taking money from the bus system in the early stages. They wouldn't admit that. Now they are. So, you know, I believe that the four musketeers up there going to serve to provide answers for what? They're the one authorizing.
Worried about Elefante in Washington, D.C.? Very, very worried about Elefante in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, you know, I gave the, I'm going to repeat this, but I gave envelope to Mr. Roger Morton. Any van he'd taken from the van to be used for the rail, he'd never returned my envelope. Asked him vocally in the second floor. The city council yelled up at him, any money taken from the van to be used for the rail? And Yoshioki answered no. And the reason is it's semantics, because they did not use the money. They took the money, but they did not use the money. How can you use that money on two books? One book is for rail, and one book is for the van. Is that
okay? But for the purpose of this conversation, you're saying they have the resolution. They've introduced it. They've said you shall remove that from your budget and not be using that money or whatever, not using it or holding on to it, whatever.
Yes.
Give it back. And maybe I'll ask the city council, what is the date? I mean, I'm just ignorant to the way things work, but if you want someone to give it back, you generally author it with a deadline or some kind of cessation, a point of cessation. You don't just leave it open-ended and leave Grabowskis with the ability to say, I'll get it back to you when it's possible.
Well, it's they're not going to get the money, that's for sure.
They, who, the HART, okay.
So, as I speak, it is my understanding that HART is not going to get $210 million from the 5307 grant money for the rail, for the van and the bus.
In the future. Okay, can you hold 1 second here, and then we'll, don't go away.
No.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, hi. You're talking to them. You know, on the Waipahu Transit Center, this bathroom, which was terrible in the first place because they reeked of urine and doo-doo smell all the time. And anyway, about a month ago, they closed down. Renovation and all that. Well, they took off the note about a week ago because they said that the renovation would be done by a certain date. And then they took the note off, all the guys. But to make it worse, they have a security guard there, the city hires, to guard that bathroom. Well, locked up now, but the security guard is still sits there all day long, all night, or about 10 at night. Guarding a bathroom that doesn't even have isn't even open.
Well, you got to understand that's probably the Golden Throne is housed in there, so you got to you need some security, you know. Yeah, and you just never know.
Well, this is the incredible thing about it. I mean, restrooms for, you know, I mean, I imagine the mayor does have a golden throne restroom. I mean,
yeah, but let's keep it in the context of this gives us an example, a clear picture of the mayor's inability to manage. A heart may be responsible for the rail, but it's to benefit the city, and the mayor is touting that. So if a man can't keep restrooms and bathrooms open and toilet tissue supplied, and then we're here asking for money back that he's diverted, someone needs to start screaming and just remind him that. Again, though, I think all of this speaks to the rail and the inability for them to manage.
Oh yeah, to manage any of this.
Period, and it's a big lie, and I feel helpless because I know the cost is just killing us all, and no one really knows because we can't rely on their numbers. Richard, go ahead finish up with your comments.
Okay, there is a budget crisis at the Fed, state, cities, counties level, and the way in which we get money to run that rail is fares on the train, general excise tax, general fund, real property tax. And the state could it's supposed to expire. GET expires in 2022. Is the state going to extend that so that they get the money for the rail? Are they going to raise the general excise tax? Now, the state takes 10% of the 0.05%. The state takes 10% mm-hmm. of the 0.05%. Do you think the state is going to give up the general excise tax?
No. I do. If you'd asked me that 4 months ago, I said, well, no, maybe not. But remember, you have David Ige, and this is part of his game. And his communications person, Macmillan, and those people were with PRP. So I think... unfortunately, this is just my prediction. It's not about can he manage our affairs. I think that he is going to buy into the same strategies that that guy Kurt Caldwell has bought into. And the city council, they are also gypping the public, the city council. They can write all kinds of fancy bills and resolutions, but they're the ones who put us in this predicament. And now they get to sit and play games and win us over again, win favors with us. I submit that, you know, this is a masquerade.
Now, I agree with you about Caldwell. I do, having been there, and I'm still, I'm very cynical, but I'm encouraged by what has happened over the past two. Maybe they're conning me, too. But this is a different council. When I hear them have eyeball-to-eyeball body language, it seems to me that this is a different council. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I hope you're right. But
I hope so, too.
Yeah, but hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hey, good morning to you, too. You know what? When you guys talk about the rail...
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I don't hear you guys mention is what happened to the billion-dollar grant. They got a billion-dollar grant for that rail. But no one talks about where that money is during all this process.
Mm-hmm.
Inouye, Senator Daniel Inouye, he arranged for a billion. Maybe it's more than a billion. It's not 2 billion, but a grant. That means money they don't have to pay back for the rail.
Now, so the listeners would know where to find this. Where are you drawing this from and your reference?
This is a well-known established fact that he created a billion-dollar grant for the rail. And before he died, they were talking about it, you know, and before the new election. And you could find it easy. It's easy to find. It's a well-known fact. Mm-hmm. All the only thing I wonder is, where is that money being held up, and what is it being used for? Because they're always talking about they need more money for the grant, this and that. I mean, for more money for the rail. But what about the money you don't have to pay back?
Richard, you know anything about the billion-dollar grant?
Well, definitely, that was what proposed. You had Obama's president. You had annoyance, Ways and Means, and naturally they got the grant, but there is financial documents and statements by heart, by heart, by heart. The organizer, producer, construction, etc. for the deal. And if you try to find that, and you can see how much money is expended from the $1 million grant. However...
Million or billion?
Billion. Billion, yes. Okay. A billion, $1.55 billion. Yeah. However, remember that those financial numbers come from heart. And when you brought, you started this program and talked about Up for Scrooge, about discrepancies, et cetera, et cetera. That's exactly what happens. You can't believe what they say about their numbers.
Exactly. And we're sitting here talking, and we might be drawing great conclusions, but it may not have anything to do with anything.
Exactly.
We don't know what we're doing.
No, I don't.
I don't think that grant has anything to do with heart.
Mm-hmm.
That is something Noy set up long time ago for the rail, and before he died, it was given to the Transit Rail. And when you can get a $1 billion grant for anything, that's some serious business, because that's $1 billion you don't have to pay back. The question is, where is the money? What is it doing?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, what bank is it in? Where is it being lent out? What happened? Where's the other money they have to borrow?
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion you don't have to borrow?
Mm-hmm.
That's serious business. So if anybody knows where the money is and how he even arranged that grant, that's serious business. Everybody should know how to do that.
Okay, well, thank you.
In terms of paying back, this is one of the questions that are in Washington, D.C. as we speak. If you take the 5307 money away, is the federal government going to give you more money in order to make up for the 5307, or are you going to have to get that money for yourself? So, and anything that the we take that we're allocated for, do we have to pay back any of this grant? Suppose the whole project stops right now. Do we have to pay back the federal government for all of that which we have not accounted for?
Let me offer this. You know, again, for me, I'm not a person that chases numbers and people's fancy statements. I've learned the hard way. But let's put it in human impact. You see how insensitive the council, the mayor, the former governor, the legislators are as it relates to the people and their needs. Can you imagine being for diabetes and you, what is it, the process there, when they go into the clinic to get their blood cleaned, dialysis. Now, can you imagine sitting on the side of the road for 2 hours or can't get one because they have taken the money that would have been and should have been used to run the vans and run the buses and how they cut the buses' services and diverted routes and closed routes? Who in their right mind, with any sensitivity in their heart, would do this and then turn around and creep out with a resolution to say, well, how we got you. What about the human impact? I'm reluctant to always hop in and brawl and get involved in the numbers, but let's look at the human impact. Who amongst those people up there have anything in their heart? Kimberly Pine, Ann Kobayashi, any of them, Ernie Martin, the chairman. Why wait now when we know and we've been complaining and now all of a sudden they want the money back?
Well, the reason is because we have put pressure on them. I have to support Ann Kobayashi.
We're not supporting anybody. This show does not. I know. Look.
Make it human.
Look, making it human, I just asked a basic question. Why didn't she run out there and write a resolution yesterday rather than today? It's that simple. I don't get involved in whether she's right, wrong, or nice. She's a nice person. We got to respect her for that. But tell me, the person sitting there in the dark waiting for a handy van for 3 hours, that's what I'm speaking to. It's not about being nice and exponentially increase that.
you're talking to somebody who has stood for 2 or 3 hours.
Exactly.
And
that's what I would like to focus on. As far as the mechanics of it and their numbers, and all, I can't trust the numbers anyway. And if their resolution, it may be contained in there when they want their money back. I don't know, but for me, this isn't about who's naughty or nice. It's about how much of a negative impact or benefit is this whole strategy or this scheme impacting those factors. That's all I mean. I don't get into the numbers. I don't.
To support you, there have been fires on the van whereby the money from 5307 could have made possibly for repairs, so those fires didn't occur. There have been many equipment changes that perhaps could have been funded by more money. There have been people I know on dialysis, one person who had died, not necessarily because of the van, but had problems getting delays and so forth with the van to go to dialysis. I've been on the van many times with people who are going to dialysis meetings, and they're 1, 2, 3 hours late.
Right.
So I support everything that you're saying.
Now, hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Cox?
Hello. Where have you been?
I have been in a care home.
Oh, you are you okay now? Doing
I'm
good?
Okay. I'm with down at a brain tumor, but that's okay. I'm taking care of myself.
Well, good, Em.
Taking care of business, just like you.
Well, we miss you, and I was trying to figure out where did she go.
I was very sick in December, and I came out in January, and I'm here about a year at home now.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, and how's your bump on your head? You got any complications?
I don't bump on my head? What are you talking about?
He banged you up real bad, and you're bleeding.
I've become smarter.
You become smarter. You better take a CSAN. See if you got any damages. Huh? Looks like I've become smarter, too. I've been beaten up, too. I'm getting smarter and smarter as the time goes
Well, on. The little brain cells I do have, I'm going to exhaust them fighting for what's right and what's wrong and try to free people up. It's a sad sight, Em, to see people waiting for the handy van. It's a sad thought know that I have a friend whose mother
waiting for that
rolled over and fell and bumped her head, and the complications she ended up dying from the complications she received from an accident in the handy van.
Oh, when they fall, they die.
Yeah.
My husband fell and he died.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, that's why I try to walk straight and tall.
Yeah, and then you have to keep your balance and you have to retrain your brain.
Right.
But you know what? They bump us and they bang us. We only get smarter or we die.
Yeah, yeah.
That's but, life.
And there are
that's
some of us that don't get to speak. So
This is America.
Mm-hmm.
When we say something, please listen to us.
Right.
They say, oh, she's a troublemaker. She's mental. First time in my life when I went to the hospital, you know what I heard from a doctor? Doctor said, she's intelligent.
Wow.
How you like that?
I love it.
It's a cure in a crazy house. She's, you know what the doctor said? She's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's name was Laura Miller.
Mm.
She's an emergency lady at the Polymomi.
Well, you know,
my life.
Pacifists and the people that are left leaving things to just don't get involved with the government. And I think what happens is that we do become fruitcakes in their eyes because they've learned a safe passage.
You know, these
shut
things
up
be
and quiet.
Careful. Because they got a lot of investigating in doctors in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're investigating businesses going through the roof in a new hobby for everyone. So all you little culprits, be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it from M, who is... Yep.
I have nothing to live for now.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm still living.
Well, good, but
I'm
then...
I'm not crying.
Right, and you're caring about other
first
people.
First time somebody tell me... She had to say it over and over again. She's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they scan you, huh?
Right.
They help you.
Right.
You know, we all make mistakes. Everybody make mistakes. Even I make mistakes. But when you tell me about my mistake, it will be corrected by me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anybody to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. So you're back home now, and you're out of the care home.
Yeah.
You're still doing your flowers in your garden?
Well, I got a little problem in the back area.
Okay.
So I have to take care of that.
Alrighty.
Maybe you can come to my house and investigate my problem I got.
Okay. Well,
I'll give you a call.
I'll give
you the address.
Okay. Give me a call, and we'll do it off air. And okay.
Yeah.
We'll look at it. Maybe we can call the state health department or someone and see what we can push them.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you for calling in.
Okay, you take care now.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Dave, go ahead. Are you Richard or...
Hello?
Yeah, both of you. Go ahead and...
Well, let me very quickly, and I'll finish this first. I agree with you 100%. We want to actually know, empirically know, that the money is no longer with Hart, that the money is with the van, and that the van and the bus are going to receive the actual money, not theoretically, not in a bill, not in a resolution, but actually the money in their account. So I agree with you. In terms of... people, to the best of their ability, have to read the original documents to determine what the money is for. Federal Financial Full Funding Agreement for the Rail. Second, 5307 Public ADA Americans with Disability Transportation for the Riders of the Handyman and the Bus. And then today, the most recent documents, the resolutions that the City Council has made in print. I have them all here. I do have to support Ann Kobayashi and Fukunaga because they have been very active, positive, actually coming to my residence to meet with 30, 40 people, et cetera, et cetera. And Mr. Ozawa, he is one of the newest members. Great hope. I was almost listening to Barbara Marshall when he spoke over the past month. He's new. However, what they say and what they do could be...
Well, that's why I refrain from... if they're nice guys, they remember they're councilman and councilwoman and man first. That's what we voted for them, right?
Yes.
We didn't vote them to come in because they had a smell of cologne of baked cookies and bread, and they're nice, and that should never enter into the picture. When you have something this massive of just reeking of corruption and backhand deals and under-the-table deals, should we engage in who's nice?
No, well, no. What I mean,
I understand. I'm just saying, it. We dilute this whole process. I want to hear about what's broken, and how to fix it, and who's there, who broke it, and should we keep them in office for watching it stay broken, and then come along with some lame spit and bubble gum to fix it? As far as who's nice, I mean, all of them are nice people.
No, I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about the dialogue.
Good. But give me some numbers. I'm going to ask them tomorrow. I'll ask for numbers.
Can find out the date that it will terminate.
I mean, of course. But again, and keep in mind, it's a resolution, right?
Oh, as of right now, yes.
Right, and resolutions are not binding, are they?
No, it is not binding.
Right, you see, so I don't want to be a smartass here, but I'm just saying to you, this is why there's so much more to be offered out there rather than to digress and focus on having to feel responsible to say they're nice people. Yes, they come to meetings, they say hello to me in the hallway, and oh, aloha, but again, we got a rail that's sucking our blood, so... this isn't about who, it's about what.
Yes.
So, hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions. Hello? All right.
Now, I'll conclude. I agree with you that pragmatically we must know exactly when and how the money has been returned to the bus and the van, whether through a bill or some action on the part of Hart. According to the mayor and according to Kraboskis and the whole executive board of Hart, the money is going to be given back to... The significance of this is, how is Hart going to get more money to pay for the whole project? Fares, general fund, real property tax, get. And that's...
But I... I really appreciate you bringing and taking the time to go in and come back and share with us, because this speaks to what I'm suggesting, that this is another example, the toilet tissue,
yep.
the zoo,
yep.
I mean, all of those things that under this administration, and then you're coming now with the, they're saying they want the money back. They should never have had the money. This is yet another, the mayor and his team shaves money and divert money, and we will never know the real costs of rail.
But remember, there were different budget committees before. You have Nestor Garcia and Apoe, and those are not the same ones there are in there now. Aquino, etc., Romy Cachola.
Mm-hmm.
Those are different budget committee city council members. And what happened before, it seems to me, this I said that this is this in front of all of them, that this is a different committee, it's a different council.
Well,
I really think that.
I understand it is. And but again, once they dabble into it or just immerse themselves in it, then be logical and reasonable and when demanding something, be specific.
Oh, so far they are.
Well, but the date, see, if you don't have that date in there, it's, to me, it's just like having a conversation with anybody about anything, you know.
There is hope, Mr. Cox.
I agree with you.
There is hope.
Dave, go ahead.
Listen, Richard is, he's an amazing, he does his homework, he's amazing. And I love, you know, we've been going to the what do you call it, the handy van meetings with the transportation folks, and he would, I remember the one time he said, listen, they said, oh, you're 3 minutes cut, you know, and he turned around and said, the people, what do you guys want me to, and then everybody said, yeah, sure, talk some more, because, you know, and that's one of their tactics, wherever you go to these hearings, they give you your measly 1 or 3 minutes or whatever, and then when they have a association of this and that and other thing, they get 10 minutes or 20 minutes.
Oh, God. And then yeah. and then get to talk and have a break and come back and keep
going. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and but, sometimes they get their executive sessions where the public can't even hear them. This is totally against any kind of democracy.
But, you know, Dave and Richard and then M call. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, it warms my heart. I'm going to be honest with you. For Dave, your situation, and then Richard, you could be retired somewhere drinking Tsing Tao and smack looking out over the valley. You don't have to get involved in that stuff, you know. And there's M who's saying, I'm not going to take it laying down. I'm fighting. But where is that younger, intelligent, educated group of people that's out there that's going to be really impacted in this? And so I applaud you, and you're inspiring me to do more, to just because it is possible not to be selfish. Yeah. And so,
well, you Richard, know, I think a lot of these people, their problem is that they have to work, and they don't even, well, of course, most of these hearings are in the daytime, and they're having to work in the first
Yeah,
place.
But you were faced with the same thing. I mean, it's giving. I mean, look what Richard had. Well, both of you, to get to a meeting, it's almost an act of Congress.
It's a problem.
So my hat's off to you, and you know, don't. I'm not playing it down, and I just go back and forth with Richard on.
Well, of course you do, Carol. You have a hat on.
I don't even rise.
You could be sitting down, Mikey, drinking your Mai Tais and watching the girls go by. Man, it would be wonderful. I always think about that. I dream about that.
No,
more thing I gotta do.
No, for me, I'd be watching the turtles, the dolphins, the whales, remember? And the girls.
Yeah, the girls.
And I want to sit there. I'd say, "Don't be a liar." So, and Francis just threw me a thumbs up. Yep.
Thumbs up.
One last point. I think we need to have a toilet paper protest. They're just bring a toilet paper to the city council. But I did that. I took poop pads when they had the poop and pee law. I just, you know, these doggy bags, doggy poop pads, and I handed it out to the council folks. I said, you know what, guys, you know, here, so you won't Yeah, I guess that would be illegal, right? You poop on the poop pad on the sidewalk, and then put it together and then throw it in the trash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were just throwing by. Mm-hmm. Oh no, he's talking about poop pads. Yeah, anyway, I did get my 15 seconds of fame on that one.
Well, we're going to take up whatever you want to talk about in next. I got a couple things I'll be talking about, and last week I left off, but it's okay to be disturbed, and there was a call online, and sorry we didn't get to you. You can call back in the next hour and have at it, have your say. So anyway, thank you, Richard. You can call back also because I'm sure you got a bit more, but people should be thankful to you and others, because you're 80 what?
81.
Yeah.
But it's all for them, it's not for me.
Yeah, and
the people who work, have families, the drivers, the van, the people that work in Middle Street, it's all for them, not for me.
You're the heroes. I mean, you could have become apathetic and say, why should I bother about the next guy, you know?
You know what, you should see, hear these little old ladies, they're 82 on their walkers, and boy, are they feisty. They really say they're a little bit.
But imagine working all your life, contributing to the system, believing and offering good things to the community, and then you grow up, you get older, and you're faced with issues of transportation and medical care, and then you get these young, corporatized, educated people who think they know the world and have no sensitivity about themselves. That's sad, you know. It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, their luxury life. They got the air-conditioned car, the air-conditioned home, the air-conditioned office, and the air-conditioned life.
And then get to appoint your cousins, your brothers, and your sisters. There's a situation in the parks division where the manager, the superintendent, his wife is his secretary. We're going to be talking about that maybe next week. And we're going to be talking about DLNR and, you know.
Oh, and the mental hospital. That one nurse, she was a supervisor. She was pointing by.
Now, are you talking about the one at Honolulu Holly or the State Capitol?
No, in Kaneohe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You talked about mental institution.
They're investigating her,
not the State Capitol mental institution.
Same game.
I always like that. They come in there and people are complaining about, there's no ethics in this department, and there's no ethics. And the guy, when you call there, the legislator's wife answers the phone because she's the manager of the office. You know, there's no ethics over at the state children's farm or prison. And, well, where is there any ethics in the state government, period? So we'll be back in the next hour, so feel free to call back. All right, guys?
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye.
Well, money's getting cheaper, price is getting steeper. Found myself a woman, but I just couldn't keep her. Time gets tougher than tough. I make a lot of money, I just keep spending the stuff. Well, pork chops on the market, ask a butcher for a pound. Couldn't buy a pork chop when I laid my money down. Time getting tougher than tough, things getting rougher than rough. I make a lot of money, I just keep spending the stuff. Thank you.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Feel free to call back, call in, and give us your opinions and what have you. And we are just absolutely always, it's like being stuck in the mud in most of these situations because no matter what you and I say or do, it appears that we still have to defer back to the government entities that failed us in the first place. So it's the double whammy of disappointment or abuse, in a sense. You know, we vote them in because of the democratic process. We think that they're going to do what's right. And to make matters worse, they tell us they're going to do, and they tell us they're cognizant of the things that they are supposed to do right. They know right from wrong, and then they go and screw us. Then once they put the screw to us, we then, the little army of four or the five or the 80-year-olders out there, because I don't see many young people, they're running around, I don't know, trying to pay for the BMW. You know, got to look good, catch the girls and get to the party. But the reality is, today's party is tomorrow's nightmare, because when your government is quietly working and fencing you in, and all that you will be was a consumer or a person who works for someone. No independent thinking, no imagination or anything. So my hat's off to those old soldiers out there who got it. Maybe it takes 80 years to get it, but at least the admiration is there. But some of these old guys that are in government seem to take a different path. Selfishness. And I think that most of the times we talk about corruption here in Hawaii, a lot of it is selfishness, not caring about, growing up not caring, not having anything, and once you get in and smell the people's trust and the money, their money, you abuse it. You confuse that with success, and you confuse that with your ability to manage, and you're a smart person because you got a degree. But the reality is, if you're violating the trust of the people, then you and your education, diplomas, or, you know, degrees, does nothing for the good of the whole community. So anyway, I had actually called, and there's Carlton Ching, the candidate for appointee that Ige nominated for the DLNR. And I had hoped that he would come in and talk, because there is an effort to deny him the nomination. And I don't know, from an environmental standpoint, I have to say this, involved in the quote environmental community, when really it's such a loose term, there's no such thing as an environmental community, because we're varied in our opinions, in our strategies, in our commitments, in our purposes. But, you know, maybe on occasion we chime in, but most of us are driven by grants and some good things, but that too is a whole climate in itself. You know, they get involved in the politics and tell you that this guy is going to be a good environmentalist, he's good, when the reality is it's short-sighted. He may have gotten involved in one or two issues, and so they give him the support and then go out and say vote for him, when the reality is, you know, it's just a mixed bag of fruit. That's basically what it is. Not fruits now, I don't want to, but again, I think about the types of people that have been in DLNR, and I'm not condoning Ige or supporting him. I think that the actual, even considering appointing Ching, Carlton, for this position, or anyone involved in development and working for the, is absolutely insane. We didn't see Ige talk a lot, and now I'm understanding why he didn't, because he's misguided, and maybe it's just he's ashamed of his real thoughts, because no way would you. He's had a number of appointees, and Lynn DeCourt, who's now just been appointed as the replacing Melly Carroll. And so I asked the question, and help me out on this if you think it's important, or if it's a valid question. When a person is nominated And I know the practice is different from when a person is nominated now, not appointed, or he can be appointed, nominated, but confirmed. Does he or she, or should he or she be allowed to work in that office until they get confirmed by the Senate? And so I called DLNR on Thursday asking Mr. Ching to call in and come in for an interview and you know, and give him an opportunity to offer. You've seen a lot of things said about him and people disagreeing with his appointment. And I wanted to afford him this opportunity. Well, I called the DLNR, and the young lady says that, "I'm sorry, Mr. Ching is on the phone right now. He's unavailable." So that triggered some concerns. If he's on the phone right now, and I called the DLNR office, the chairman's office, what is he doing there and has not been confirmed? What right does he have to, is it for sure he's going to get confirmed? Is it the fix is in? What is he allowed to see and not allowed to see? And this is not picking at him. It just stimulated me in wanting to ask this question publicly. Should they have a right to go and sit in the office simply because they have been appointed or nominated? So I'm going to try to let you hear the response that I got from DLNR from Ching. He didn't call me back directly, and I apologize for the noise there. But I'm going to play you back. Dan Dennison, the senior communications person for DLNR, called me back. Now, mind you, I called Ching, and I don't see he's acting director or chairman or anything. So I'm going to play this back. This is hopefully you can hear.
Mr. Cox, my name is Dan Dennison. I'm the senior communications manager for DLNR, and I got your message regarding an interview with Mr. Ching. Right now, he is not in a position to do anything. His confirmation hearing, as you probably know, is on March 11th, and I'm sure after that's completed, he'd be happy to talk to you. You can please give me a call if you have any questions, 587-0407. Thanks very much. Bye.
So you see, that caused me to ask the question is, if Mr. Ching has not been confirmed by the Senate, why is the state employees responding and answering for him? Is he not capable of dialing the phone and calling back? Because he's still not the chairman. And then how does he have access? And so that tells me, this suggests to me that, and mind you, it has happened before in other instances, but we're talking about Mr. Ige and his appointees and what's going on here. I don't believe that Carlton Ching personally is suitable for the job, nor did I believe Mr. William Eiler was suitable for the job. And nor did I always had concerns with William Patey being there. And I had concerns with Michael Judge now. So the entire process has always been, on the national level as well as the local levels, the chairmen of these departments are generally politically picked, or they politically pick the position, and then the entities tell the candidate who won that you will put this guy in or put that guy in. Now, GMO, he appointed Lynn DeCorte over on Molokai. We had the other one where she was appointed as the director of, and then found that she didn't reside in the state. This was one other appointee, and there are many others. There's a state public safety office. Now, I saw this gentleman being interviewed on TV the other day, the director of the state of public safety, and I observed him talking about a matter on Big Island where they put the lady on suspension or suspended on administrative leave without pay. And then I'm reminded just weeks less than a week possibly, this same director of public safety had questions about a former girlfriend or who was the mother of his child. He appointed her as deputy director. Now, when does this scale of justice, when does it come into play in state or government actions? Is there such a thing as a scale of justice when it comes to government? Because I was just taken aback that you're going to take this person out and suspend them for this behavior, and that you then can nominate and appoint your girlfriend or former girlfriend, the mother of your child, to work as your deputy director. And then she has another relationship with another person who's in the prison system. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is the way it is. This is why we confuse this place with paradise. Certain things are tolerated and other things are frowned upon, you know. That we will put great emphasis on chasing the homeless and making sure that the sidewalks are wide enough they can't sleep on them. But yet, when Border Water Supply, we pointed out that there were millions squandered by individuals who worked for the agency and then worked for private companies, and then they went and put the fix on it with Chuck Todd's office. Something's wrong there. So just be forewarned that while we sit back and accept or try and digest this, this system continues to work. It's like rust. It's never asleep. And so there is a lot of concerns that that are out there and should be taken care of, right? And we talked about the toilet paper, but 524-1080 is the number. I got other things I'll be chatting about, but there is something terribly wrong, and it's not Denmark. It's right here in Honolulu. Something, we got lots of people chasing this and that, but what are we really chasing? It reminds me of the old story about going snipe hunting in the South. Some of you familiar or got relatives in the South or some northern states, they play the game. You're naive and green, and you come to visit them. So they take you on a snipe hunt. They give you a sack and a stick, and you go out in the midnight, and you go out snipe hunting. And they never tell you what the snipe looked like, but you caught up in it. You run a goal because they've talked about it so much, and you get out there, and you're trying to catch a snipe. You have your gunny sack, and you have your stick. And the reality is, what does he look like? What are you catching? You see, that's the thing. What are we really getting from our government? They tell us these things, but they're so disconnected and disjointed that nothing fits here. Nothing. I mean, we got more construction, and they'll say, but it creates jobs. See, that's the danger. You look at the inconveniences and the impacts on traffic and people's lives and economically. Yes, the roads are bad. Yes, they got to put the rail ports in and what have you. But couldn't they be a little more efficient and planning this and not planning them at the same time? But again, when you got your big buddies in mind first, the people never enter into the equation. Never. Because you got them where you want. You send them the bill, they pay it. That is all that's needed to be said. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi, Cheryl. Listen, here's a perfect example of the way things are working here. Mr. Kippen, you know, Colin Kippen, he's still the homeless coordinator for the ex-governor. Still collecting his $8,000 a month, plus the perks, and I don't know. I mean, he told me, well, you know, he didn't leave me accountable. And I called him. I said, wait a minute, accountable for what? You know, and we approached him. We said, hey, listen, Colin, the housing first program, we really want you to be accountable for that. And he says, well, you know what, we just don't have the resources. I mean, I'm doing all I can to make it work, but we just don't have the resources. So, well, how are you accountable if you don't have the resources to make this housing first work, you know?
Right. How do you not have the resources when you're getting paid to do these things? I mean, does that make, you know?
Well, I even told him, I said, you know what, I'm not telling you every month, donating $4,000 to helping homeless folks get places to live.
Yeah, Colin Kiffin's reminds me of the guy who was given enough money to go buy a pound of nails to build a shed, but then his complaint was it never got completed because they never gave him a hammer. And that's what this is. It was never to be done. It was just another lie and another strategy to pay and give someone money that does not have a job. This is what your tax dollars and
well,
remember now.
It'll be interesting too. He is going to have to. That's a position to be filled. The homeless coordinator for the governor, and we'll see where he takes it. If O'Connor is still the same. Old, same old, or he's going to get shot.
Yeah. Well,
IHS or whatever, I don't know. From the next step.
I mean, you want to see waste? I just played that message back from Dan Dennison. And you have to ask, do they really need a senior communications specialist to represent a person that does not work for the agency yet? It hadn't been confirmed, and yet they also have people that work under Dennison in communication, that is there that much of information coming outside, coming from DLNR that we need that kind of waste, paying people that much money?
When Colin Kimber, he has an assistant. I forget his name, but this guy, here's what happens. Remember, I'm lucky enough to get him on the phone. They said, oh, Dave, I'm on my meeting. It's always the case. They're always on the way to a meeting. Why? Different times of the day, they're always on the way to go do it. They don't have time to talk about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you, right? You called the sister and said, well, you know, we're on our way to a meeting.
Right.
So we can.
But, I mean, you're not asking Kippen for favors. You're asking what he was put in place to do. And so this is another example of government waste and government abuse and simple disrespect for the people, because you can't have a person running around calling themselves or being told that they're being paid as a czar for homelessness, and then what? You know,
I sent him 6 letters in a year. It was lots of important questions I want answered, and it's been over 2 years, and they still haven't been answered. And he says, here's the example. He got so peed off at me one time. He came up to me and said, you know, I put in 7 days a week. I do this from 6 in the morning to 8 at night, you know. I said, I thought this was really incredible. He's saying that he doesn't have time for the public,
mm-hmm.
you know. Oh, I've been at some of the interagency council. I've been there for the last year. This last one I went to, I said, you know, I gave my little 3 minutes, and then at the end I said, you know, can I speak for one more minute? I want very important. He says, no, the meeting is over. I said, excuse me, Mr. Kippen, for 2 years you haven't answered one of my letters, and I'm asking for a measly minute on a very serious, important issue. With folks that don't have housing. I mean, this is life and death to a lot of people. He didn't like that at all.
Well, they're not going to like any of that. It's just not the way the game's played. But
that's it, the way the game's played.
Anyway, about this Carlton Ching, you know, I want to share with the listeners out there. We get caught up, and I've told you personally, I don't believe that based on just the looks of it, the appearance, his expertise, lack thereof, when it comes to the total complexity of DLNR and those agencies that are branches and divisions that are housed under the word DLNR. So I mentioned that the environmental community, some are saying, well, he should have retained ILA. And I'm perplexed by the means in which the, quote, environmental community could object so vehemently against Carlton Ching and then submit that they wanted William Ila. And in turn, I have to say, well, what did he draw him? Okay, he was Native Hawaiian. And why didn't he also advocate, there are many instances where to stop protecting the turtle, delisted the green sea turtle or the hawksbill or whatever, delisted and then allow it to be consumed. Where is the environmental community on that? Where were they? Remember PLDC Act 55? There's an article, editorial written by Ila on that one, supporting it and promoting it, you see? So, again, where was the environmental community on that? So I raise this issue is because I think sometimes we shoot ourselves in the feet with believability or lack thereof because of credibility, because we can be forgiving on one hand and be extreme in our demands on others. And is it politics? If so, then we can step back and say we have contributed to the demise of the resources, the natural resources. Maybe we need to regroup and think how we approach this and fight. We can't be selective. I've reported here on this show under William Ila. He allowed and picked Randy Awo to act as a director and then was appointed through a selection committee, passing up many more people with greater experience and expertise. And I think I recall, if my mind, as M pointed out, my memory serves me well, under William Ila, I did a story where there was a tree growing out of the motor of a patrol boat that sat, and this boat is worth thousands, hundreds, a couple hundred thousand. So how can we be so forgiving in that? So you have to then step back and question the whole process. You see, we point the finger at Ige about this and pointing people there, but we will let anybody get appointed. And then something that never was publicly made because they tried to keep it in the shade, and that was the Aquatics Division head was hired, and the concerns was that all of his travel was done on first class.
Oh, my goodness.
There's this issue with the director now, acting director of DLNR DoCare, and his chief, deputy chief.
Well, you know what? The problem is that they really think they are first class.
Yeah.
You know, we're the bottom class. You know?
Yeah, and I don't mean to pick on, I'm not picking on Ila, but I want to seize this opportunity and say a shout out to the environmental community. You know, you can't be talking out of the side of your mouth on one hand, and then yes, I know Ila, but also Ila was an aquarium fisherman, and now you know, so why didn't you know these things come out? I'm not picking on Ila, but it's just the bigger subject is. Maybe this is why we lose our ability to talk and our ability to have a voice when we select.
Did you ever get him to come on your show?
Who?
Did you ever get him to come on your show?
No, I never recall it really extending because the fact is you make a request for information and they didn't respect that. The guy that he had for chief. I had questions for the fact that he had used a helicopter that is paid by the state to gather and collect fish or other aquatic animals from Key, the Maui area. So, again, and there are many, many, many other instances. So I offer this to say I don't personally want Ching, because Ching, it would be a complete failure, because I know that he does not have the understanding of the complexity, and nor did many others. But again, Isla was, he ran for governor, so in this town what happens is that if you bring a shopping cart filled with votes, you then have a voice. You can.
But if you have shopping carts with your possessions of it, but they don't know.
Right, but if you have a shopping
hammer to it.
Exactly. If you got a shopping cart with your water bottle and your sleeping pad and a tarp, they break it up with a sledgehammer. You're right, and that's why I was laughing that we're thinking the same way. But again, this is what's wrong. You see, I mean, we're living in the environment is a ghetto. I can take you to places you would swear that someone drugged you and kidnapped you and put you on a plane and sent you to a third world nation. I'm serious. It is that bad.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen them
right here on our shores.
So we're right there in Kaga'ako.
I'm trying to pinch myself and ask, you know. The environmental community, if there is such a thing, needs to get real and not being so emotional about who and understand what is being done in these positions and who can turn their backs on the environment for the sake of the politics. Do you know that there is a boat given down to the city now by Howard Hughes Corporation, you know, as part of a gift from Kiwala. So anyway, that's the thing, and it's just we're not getting our money's worth, and we're not protecting our future with these kinds of decisions and these types of appointments.
You know what gets to me, I did my little 3 minutes, the city council over and over again when we try to get rid of the sit and lie, like lying. Anyway, I said directly, I said, come on guys, tell me exactly what you guys are going to do for these people. And now, one of them, they would just zip it up, you know?
Yeah.
I said, what is your alternative for these people? You have no alternative.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess Kimberly Pines said, well, you know, they can always go to IHS. Yeah, said, but I said, well, you know, that's an awful place to be, and plus you're not gonna that's not gonna solve the problem, you know.
Yeah,
rest of them just, you know.
Yeah, you got some noise in the background, so it's old.
But
I'm going to get on to another subject. And I wanted to just there was an editorial, and I'll just read a portion of it. October 7th, and it was in the Hawaii News about PLDC Star Avenue.
Let me hang up so I can listen on the radio too.
Okay, and so. PLDC is genuine. This is written by William Isla on 2012. And I just offer this to say, you know, where were the screaming and the screaming about his appointment and when he was appointed? And so that you'll know that the quote, environmental community, as we know it, the loosely defined, they're like the developers. If they get what they want, and it doesn't mean they want the whole pie, but something that's dear to them. And that's where we make our mistakes, because we don't stand back and look at the thing as a whole. We look at and as in fragments. And, okay, we can save this little piece over here. But in reality, there's a lot more to it than just saving this over here. There's benefits, financial. So when you sue someone and they don't have a permit and the law says you're required to have a permit, somebody get financial gain. So we need to abandon that approach and look holistically at the environment as a total, one entity rather than portions of it, and we get that piece. And what you may have saved may have no influence or impact or benefit, really. So this is Isla's William Ila on October 7th, Star Advertiser, 2012. Although more extreme, the title was PLDC is Genuine Opportunity for Hawaii. This was William Ila. Although more extreme than some may have expected, statewide attention to the Public Land Development Corporation is a welcome sign, as it so happens, necessary to the fulfillment of the intent of the 2011 law that created it. Still, it is clear that without adequate advance explanation, the public could not help but assume the worst when the PLDC's administrative rules were posted in July for public comment. But at this point in the process, calls to abolish PLDC are counterproductive, particularly when there is so much yet to be defined. So, what do we have on Calvin Ching? Colbert, there's several of the Chings. But anyway, what do we have to draw? And I called Mr. Ching to allow him to offer us some insight so maybe we can get an idea and make, but he, being that he's not appointed yet and not confirmed, he can't talk. In other words, I'll get in and then I'll BS you with any answers you want later. But couldn't that be viewed as giving us the opportunity to question and talk with him and get some insight rather than read the articles that are striking out at him? So, again, and Governor Ige is out of town, so I guess we will just have to wait and see what is happening. I don't know what the GMO people think, the anti-GMO think. I know there's saw a few comments in opposition to Lynn DeCorte's nomination. But again, the question is, does that mean that a person's background or work experience or lack thereof should come into play? Anybody should be able to be appointed and then just judge them on what they do when they're in office? 524-1080 is the number if you have any comments. But anyway, another thing that we did last week was on KGMB Sunrise. There was a story, they did a story on trash in the rivers and streams. And let me tell you, you know that old saying, they go from the mountain to the sea, Malama Ka'aina, Ikapono, you hear that, and then you turn and look over your shoulder, and you see, I mean, human feces, you see shopping carts, sofas, mattresses, plastic bottles. And so that brings me to, you can look at some of the pictures that I've posted up on the website, but it reminds me of, you know, we in the environmental community talk about this massive collection of plastics in the ocean, in the Pacific. There are many other places. But the question is, how does it get there? Does is it that people go to the ocean shores and just take the trash can and dump the plastics in directly? I don't think that being the case. Maybe on occasion, as we've caught someone dumping in streams, just throwing household waste in the stream from the home, from the property. But what happens is a couple things that we've identified as being contributors to, and may offer some explanation as to how this happens. You see, we have channels and that have been cemented and what have you, and they don't really get maintenance. So upstream, people throw their trash, the plastics. And in Waipahu, for example, there's a recycler facility, a high five, where they take plastics and aluminum and they buy them from the public. And it's located right near a stream, the Kapakahi Stream. And so when people come to sell their bottles and their cans and their metals, they pull up and some come with shopping carts. But you know now, if you've ever redeemed your plastic bottles, you learn that they do not accept bottles with the plastic caps on them. Why we're not recycling those, I don't know. But so they tell you, you can, we'll take the bottles but not the caps. So the person that brings the, in a shopping cart or come up in a truck, sits there on the river's edge, on the banks, and unscrew the caps, and many of them throw them on the ground, which is inches from the river. And they eventually fall into the river and then head down to the ocean. Some say the homeless are contributing to the bulk of this. Well, that, I don't know if it's the totality that the homeless can be blamed, but I also know that many homeowners, fishermen, and others dump their trash irresponsibly. I know that trucking companies will dump their materials in the rivers and what have you. So all of this eventually washes into the ocean because we're going to have heavy rains. It's in the stream. And we may on occasion have the city and county or the state, depending on whose jurisdiction it is, go out and clean preemptively to prevent it from getting into the ocean. But nonetheless, why is it important to protect these streams? They are the last remnant habitat that we really have. Most of the wetland areas are drained or built over or filled in. And so just Thursday, I think it was. Yeah, Thursday. I was there, and we occasionally get different species that migrate here, either by accident, by storm, or what have you. So there's this little ringneck duck that's in the small river, the Kapakahi, with other species of endangered species, the Alaiula, or the Alaikeokeo, or the Hawaiian coot, or the Hawaiian gallinu. And there are other birds there. So when you see this trash, the plastics and the shopping carts and all of that, how is it that the city and the state, they say, well, we need more money. We have so much to do. Well, maybe if we did away with some of the jobs such as the homeless czar who does nothing, the communications specialist who is a senior communications specialist, and maybe they have a junior communications specialist, and then they have a sophomore junior specialist, you know, and all these jobs that are filled out to their friends and given to their friends, and all these support staff, you know. So when my question is, when Mr. Ilo left DLNR, how many of those people followed him to DHHL? Is it that fluid government that people can just flow in the system, just follow the money, and just wherever there's a job, you got a guy who has a team, and it's this repeats itself over and over within the state and the city. So it's no surprise, it doesn't shock me that when the city, for example, show you how they operate. So they were told about this massive collection of, there were about 50 something shopping carts that were dumped in the river in Waipahu. It's just a Waipahu drainage basin and a Liokani Street. So immediately the city ran out and cleaned it up, because they knew that there was going to be a news story. But they don't give an account that I'd already been there and filmed it and have documented it. So it's like they only respond to pressure. Wouldn't it be nice if government responded to just being good government and motivated because that's the right thing to do? So if they didn't have money to clean it up, where did they get the money to clean it up when they found out that it was going to go on TV? So it's, again, whole be tight-fisted with all of the money. And these scenarios repeat themselves. They're in the transfer station at Kihei on the city and county of Honolulu. Now, they have several Volvo loaders that they use in the facility to load trash and move it around. Now, I'm informed, and I'm going to be looking deeper by workers here, that since they received those about a year or so, none of them work properly. Their computer system run down, and then they have to, something about the contract, but we're going to get into the details. But again, how does it happen? There's the wash rack. You may have seen that on KGMB, where they built this monstrosity to wash the trucks to keep the oil from... I talked about it a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And yet, that facility is down now. And monies that were spent on it, where did it go? And then, even the soap that is used in the wash, there's questions about that. I'm informed that on one hand they could get this material, this soap, for $10 cheaper than they're paying a gallon today. So if you're getting 1,000 gallons, because you're washing a fleet of trucks, so because someone involved is a friend of a friend, got the contract and is able to charge the city $10 more than the other person would charge per gallon or per quart, whatever the amount is. But these are things that we're going to be looking into. But again, waste, fraud, and abuse. It's so common within the city and state government. Now, mind you, I know I'm not going to get invited to the next confirmation or the next state of the state or city of the city. But, you know, I've come to learn that that's not where I belong anyway. And I think it's all hogwash that they're promoting and giving us. And so the rail, I don't know what the Four Musketeers doing up there, but, you know, remember the one Esplanade, whatever his name is, the newest council, he worked for Harumoto, and Harumoto went into Senate, and then this young man becomes a city council councilman. And so the question is, I believe that you, the voter, need to start looking at closer looks at who it is that you vote for, who you support, and demand. It's okay to demand that we get good government. I don't believe that we should be ashamed of that, and I don't think we'd be too sassy if we said to them, enough already, we know better. Everything you touch reeks of abuse, mismanagement. Enough already. How many millions or how many billions have been squandered over the last, let's say, 10 years on favoritism and friends and contracts and what have you? These are the real things that I like to talk about. You know, maybe one day I'm going to sit down and talk about the ICEs and the zeros and the, well, you know, maybe one day. But for right now, the greater harm that we as taxpayers are experiencing, the most immediate harm, is right here, what's happening in our daily lives. I look at registration of cars, increase. Safety check, increase. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Where does it stop? When will it stop? How will it stop? It's going to take some doing on all of our parts to get real. But again, we are really centric, and we have a lot of money, all of us in this state. And every person that you see walking on this island has millions in the bank. I know you're probably saying that's facetious and nonsense. Well, it's not. The government see you as being an entity that has ripe and pockets bulging with money. And that's what they're doing. They're treating you as if you have money in abundance, or at least the policies and the regulations and all of that. Tax, 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 fees, fees, fees. Oh, what a relief it is if we can get from behind that big eight ball. But how do we do that? So I'd like to hear from you in the coming weeks. And there's a number of things that we're going to be talking about. And I'm working on a project right now to try and put it together. Hopefully it takes off by the 8th. And we're going to talk about West Papua, New Guinea, where the allegations are the Indonesian government is killing on a routine basis, killing people from Papua, West Papua. And they're taking over there for 50 years at least, and the violence directed on the people there. So we're going to have someone from Oxford College and also from New Guinea calling in and talking about it. We hope to have that, finalize it and all, and see what, that I don't mind. But as far as the politics, I get trapped in the thought of we're trying to figure out where did ISIS come from, and we're frowning at them, and they're bad people. But remember, from my memory, was that the war we went to, we got lied into it, war, weapons of mass destruction. So if you want to start somewhere, start there and figure out if one big lie is told, then maybe are we still having lies told to us? Is there really real enemies out there, or did we create them because we had bad management? And remember, the mission was accomplished. So anyway, we'll see you next week.
And although we're the stars of the show, we know that ain't all there is to it. Because behind every star, that's behind every great man, there is a woman. And I want to tell you out there that if you are a man, you've got a woman. And I think you should take a little time out to salute that woman and give that woman a great big round of applause.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.